And there's a couple of songs in our songbook. When we get toward the end of the sermon, there's a slide that has those songs on it. And we're going to take a look at that. But some of the songs that I mentioned this morning, Charles Tindley wrote, a couple of them are actually in our songbook, and we're going to look at those. How many of you heard about Chris Cornell this week? Anybody heard about Chris Cornell this week? Chris Cornell was a lead singer. He was from Seattle. Seattle's known for a lot of things. One of the things that Seattle is known for is grunge rock and roll. It's a heavy metal rock and roll genre. And Chris Cornell was a lead singer for a couple of different rock groups, Soundgarden and Audioslave. Now, in a lot of people's eyes, Chris Cornell would be seen as successful. Now, none of you guys knew his name, but there are a lot of people who do know his name, and a lot of people have spent a lot of money on his CDs and his music. But the sad reality is, as successful he was in some people's eyes, he took his own life in emptiness, in sadness and sorrow. You know, it surprises us. Oftentimes we see people that in man's eyes seem very successful. Robin Williams, I think last year, took his life. Here's a guy that made his living making people laugh. And he was successful in terms of dollars and in terms of name recognition, in terms of a lot of things. But he died in emptiness. See, how we measure success is going to affect us. And it's going to affect how we live. And I want you to think about that. How do you measure success? When you look at somebody's life and you evaluate and you say they're successful, what makes you say that? Because that's important. Because whatever it is that you're measuring them as successful by affects how you measure you. And that's something we need to understand about ourselves.
Yes.
See, success should not be measured in dollars. Now on a human level, that's something that, you know, we all look at. But true success ought not be measured in dollars. I've known some people that were very successful in how they raised their families and the reputation they had. And they were not wealthy people. I mean, my grandfather is a good example of that. He was raised very poor in Alabama. And when he and grandma got married and they lived in a rural part of Mississippi, he made a living selling vegetables out of a pickup truck. He was a peddler, farmer, you know, patch farmer. And he would grow the stuff and he would put it in the truck and he would travel around to neighbors and he would sell or barter. Sometimes he would trade for some eggs because he didn't have chickens and trade for some milk or whatever. He made it through the Depression that way. And he went from nothing to, I could have had a house, I could have had a picture up there of the house that he ended up with when he died, but it's a nice house. But he was never a wealthy person. He just used what he had very wisely. I mean, he built the house, much of it he built himself. But he raised three boys, and those three boys have all been very successful in business and different things like that. One was a teacher. One was worked for the federal government as a bank examiner. My dad is a professional engineer, electrical engineer. And one of the things my grandfather did toward the end of his career, he never worked for a company. He always worked for himself. He sold cars. And he would get on a bus and he would have a apparatus to hook two cars together, and he would get on that bus and he would have just enough money to go up there He would buy two cars at an auction in Milwaukee or Chicago, and he would link them together with that hitch that he brought with him, and he would drive back. And then he would sell them in Mississippi. And that's how he made it. He just, whatever it took to make some money to take care of his family, that's what he did. But as far as his success, as far as reputation, as far as what he left behind and in the lives of his sons and all of that, I would say my grandfather was a great success. I mean, there's a lot of things that I still admire about him and I try to do in my own life. But how do we measure success? Shouldn't be about dollars. Shouldn't be about name recognition. Shouldn't be about man's accolades. You know, I mentioned Robin Williams. You know, talk about trophies and talk about recognitions from the world. All that, he had all that. Died in emptiness. But the way we should measure success is that last one on the list there. We should only measure success by us bringing glory to God. Yes. Our lives glorifying God. How much did I glorify God? How much glory did I give to God? Those are things that we ought to look at when we're measuring success. Now, obviously, looking at verse 43 of Genesis chapter 30, we're measuring the success of Jacob in terms of his wealth. But remember, he went to Laban with nothing. Remember that. He amassed this while he was there working for his father-in-law. So, I mean, he was working for someone else to help someone else multiply, and at the same time he was gaining wealth as himself through hard work. See, I believe, and I mentioned it this morning, that a lot of the success that Jacob encountered with Laban had to do with the blessings of God. God was doing a work in Jacob's life. He was starting to figure out being a trickster doesn't work too good because it's coming back to roost in his own house. He was getting tricked by another trickster. He didn't like it so much. He started to learn some lessons. But if we're going to be the success God wants us to be, we need to be successful through the Lord's blessings, through God's blessings in our lives. And letter A there, letting God increase you exceedingly. I love the terminology that's used in verse 43 when it says, the man increased exceedingly. You know, God can bless you a whole lot more than you can accomplish on your own. God can do things in your life and He can bless your life and He can help you accomplish far more than you can accomplish through your own efforts. We need to let God bless our lives. If we're going to be the success He wants us to be, it's going to involve His blessing on our lives. The Bible talks about Him doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God wants to bless us. In Jeremiah 29:11, it talks about how the thoughts that He has toward us are good thoughts. He wants to bless our lives, but He's not going to bless us when we're not honoring Him and we're not walking with Him and we're not obeying Him and we're not yielding to Him. He's not going to bless that. See, we need to let God be able to bless us and let Him bless us exceedingly. If we're going to be the success He wants us to be, it's going to come through His blessings in our lives. Letting God use us for His glory exclusively. Now, Jacob didn't do that all the time. I think toward the end of his life, he gets a lot of things squared away. But Joseph did his whole life. Joseph was seeking to bring glory to God exclusively. That's why when he finally revealed himself to his brothers, he says, "You don't have anything to worry about. What you meant for evil, God used for good." He gave glory to God in all of this. Everything that happened negatively to him, he just left it in God's hand and let God work through it. We need to let Let God use us for His glory exclusively. You know, when we start trying to achieve our own glory, we're robbing God from His glory.
That's right.
And we're not bringing Him the glory He deserves. When it comes to glory, the glory ought to be God's exclusively. And I mentioned this morning, how you achieve greatness is more important than the greatness you achieve. And if we're going to bring glory to God exclusively, the how of how we achieve greatness is going to be very, very important. You know, we read there in verse 43, but go back to verse 27 in Genesis chapter 30. We read it this morning, but I want to highlight it just again tonight in verse 27. It says, Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. See, Laban realized that the blessings that he had received were from the Lord. My friend, when you experience a measure of success, make sure you give God the glory. When people say, hey, that you did a good job, make sure you give God the glory.
Yes.
You know, even in sports, you know, before I got my heart right with God and I was doing sports, it was a very prideful thing. That was one of the things God convicted me about. And after I got my heart right with God and got serious about living for the Lord, I still did sports. But, you know, when we succeeded, I was saying, praise the Lord. In fact, when I was playing ball in college, and you know, I was saying praise the Lord on the bench, and they were, you know, people would be looking around. This guy's weird, you know. He's the cheerleader, and he's saying praise the Lord. But we ought to give glory to God, right?
Yeah.
He gives us the ability, right?
Yes.
We need to give glory to God. You know, one of the things when people leave and they say that was a good message or whatever, I always want to make sure I say praise the Lord, because it's His book.
Amen.
He's the one that gave me the message. He's the one that enabled me to give the message. All the glory goes to Him. And that's what Laban is saying here. I know that God has blessed me. And I know God's blessed me because of you. I'm a Syrian. I'm a pagan. I have these idols. But you say you believe in the Lord God Almighty. See, Laban identifies this. And look at verse 28. He says, and he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I serve thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and now it is now increased unto a multitude. The Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. Now when shall I provide for mine own house also? See, Laban and Jacob give God the credit. Laban says, I know God's blessed me because of you. Jacob says, God has blessed me while I've been here serving with you. They're both giving God the glory. They're both giving God the credit. We need to be like that. You know, when we have success in our family, when our kids do right and they blow our mind because they do right, that shouldn't blow our mind too much, but sometimes it does, right? We ought to say, praise the Lord. Amen? Because God is working in their life. And they're responding in the right way. That's something to give praise to God for, right?
Yeah.
When we have success in business, we ought to be praising the Lord. And as I mentioned this morning, when we profit from the gifts God's given us in the business we have that God has given us to do, we need to honor God with that. We give God glory when we honor God with those profits. Those hearing devices that we have back there, we have those because a young man was in our youth group in Indiana, and he moved down to Georgia, and he started a business with another guy, another Christian, and they decided as businessmen that they wanted to honor God not only personally with their finances, but corporately with their finances. And every quarter, they looked at their profit margin, and they would tithe on the profit of the company. not only their own paycheck, but the profit of the company. And so he called me up one dime and he says, you know, we want to do something for you. You know, this is why we do this and we want to do something for your church. And I said, you know what? I've been thinking about something we need and this is it. And he says, we can do that. I know a Christian businessman that he wanted to honor God with the business that he had built up, and he had some partners and they weren't believers and they gave him real fits over that. So he started trying to figure out a way that he could honor God with his business, and he came to the conclusion he needed to start another business and not have partners that weren't saved. And he did. And he started using his business profits for the glory of God and taking care of missionaries and filling people's tanks with gas and just what meeting needs. The bottom line I'm trying to say is we need to honor God with the success he gives us. We need to do it verbally by saying, praise the Lord. God did this. I want to praise him for this. But we also need to do it in a very tangible way by honoring God with the success that he gives us. See, all of this brings glory to God. When we say, yeah, I did a good job, that brings glory to me. When we say, praise the Lord, that gives glory to God exclusively. We need to give the glory to him. Laban does it. He's not even saved. Jacob does it. We need to do that. And then letter C, letting God bless you so his majesty is exalted. See, we need to let God, we need to be in a place where God can bless us so he can display his majesty in our lives. It's one of the things Potiphar saw in Joseph. He put everything in Joseph's care because he knew he was being blessed because of Joseph. For Potiphar, it was like a good luck charm. But the bottom line was, he saw in Joseph that God's favor was upon him, and he wanted to benefit from that. Same thing happened with the jailer when Joseph was thrown in jail. My friend, I'm telling you, this story teaches us so much about how we're supposed to be living for God. And every day we need to be living our lives in such a way that God can display his majesty in us. Our lives exalt him. When we're living in sin, God's not exalted in us living in sin. God's majesty is not seen in us when we're living in sin. When we cheat somebody, God's majesty is not seen in that. When somebody gives us too much change and we pocket it and we think we made off like a bandit, God's not glorified in that. God's majesty is not exalted in that. I was telling my wife about a story. My son, he's going to youth activity in Panama City. When I was a kid growing up in that area, we went to youth activities in Panama City. And one of my first trips, my sister, she was in high school and I was just a junior high kid, you know. We went on this trip and we went to the youth rally and we were headed home and we stopped at Burger King on the way home and we went in there and got our food and we all came back out on the bus and I was bragging about getting extra change. Bad thing to do when your big sister's in the bus. My sister is as black and white as you can be. I mean, it is right and wrong. There is no gray with my sister. Mallory takes after my sister a lot that way. And she just gave me the riot act. She made me feel like this big. Guess what I did? I took the money back. Now, my motives then weren't so pure. I just wanted her to be quiet. But I did the right thing, at least. Now, kids, the lesson in that is not take it and don't talk about it. The lesson is don't take it at all, okay? I want to make sure you walk out with the right lesson, okay? Yeah. Make sure you get the right lesson. People leave a message and the weirdest things, they say, you said this. And I was like, that is not what came out of my, that is not what I meant by that. I want to make sure you kids take the right lesson out of this, okay? Don't be like Pastor Frank, be like Pastor Frank's sister. Amen. I want you to go to James chapter 4. We need to let God be exalted in us and we need to let God exalt us. Go to James chapter 4. When I was reading this and meditating on these thoughts, God laid this passage on my mind. Actually, it's just one part of this passage, but as I looked at this passage, a larger part of that passage really is relevant to what we're talking about. James chapter 4, look at verse 6. But God giveth grace, whereas he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. See, he gives grace to the humble because the humble are a conduit of his glory. They're an opportunity for his majesty to be exalted. He resists the proud because they are not that. He says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, we need to submit ourselves to God. We need to yield ourselves to God so he can show his grace and his majesty and his exaltation in us and through us. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to stay close to God. We need to give him the glory. We need to let his glory shine through us by being near to him, being yielded to him, being humble before him. Verse 9 says, be afflicted and mourn. Weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We need to let him lift us up. Way too many humans on the face of the earth are more worried about lifting themselves up than anything else. The sad reality is too many Christians are that way too. We don't need to be worried about lifting us up. We need to be concerned with lifting him up. And if we will humble ourselves and lift him up and exalt him and lift up his glory, we'll be a success in his eyes. And he'll bless us. He goes on and it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil is of his brother and judgeth his brother. Speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou to judge another? And in verse 13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. See, we need to give God glory in our planning. We need to let God's majesty show forth in the preparation for a thing, not just in the thing and not just in the success after the thing. We need to have God involved in the whole thing. Amen?
Amen.
See, we need to be exalting the Lord. We need to lift him up. We need to bring him glory exclusively so he can bless us exceedingly, so he can bring himself glory through us. Roman numeral number 2, be successful by being a blessing to others. And back in Genesis 30, that's what we see. We see God blessing Jacob, and at the same time, Laban is benefiting from the blessing. Later on in this story, we see God blessing Joseph and Potiphar benefiting from the blessing. Later on, we see God blessing Joseph and the jailer benefiting from the blessing of the Lord. Later on, we see God blessing Joseph and Pharaoh benefiting and Egypt benefiting and even Joseph's family benefiting from it. The bottom line is the blessings of God are not for us to hoard to ourselves. They're for us to use to bless others. I love it when I see people blessed by God and they are not so just consumed with taking care of themselves. They say, I want to bless God. I want to honor God. I want to use this for God. And I want to help this situation. I want to help that situation. I want to help that. We need to use the blessings of God, not just for us, but we need to use the blessings of God to bless others. We need to be a conduit of that blessing. And that's what I see with Jacob. Laban is benefiting from the blessings Jacob experiences. See, we need to let God bless others through our life. In verse 27, Laban says, I know from experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Think about that. Has anybody, don't raise your hand, don't, gasp or whatever. But think about that. Have you been blessed clearly through the blessing of somebody else? More than likely, you can probably think of examples of that. Well, have you done the same thing for somebody else? See, we need to let God bless others through our life. We need to let people experience favor in us and from us. You know, one of the ways we can do that is with evangelism. We've been given the gospel. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given the gospel. That gospel is an entrustment. You are a steward of the gospel. And just like somebody shared it with you, you need to share it with somebody else. Just like somebody favored it with you, on you, you need to favor someone else with it as well. Everybody you share it with won't respond to it favorably, but some will. See, we need to favor others with the favor God shows to us. We need to let people experience the blessings of God upon our lives. We need to share it with them verbally and tangibly so they can see those blessings and hear about those blessings and maybe even experience those blessings. We need to let people experience God's blessings through us. That's the tangible part. When we share it, that's one of the reasons why we do praises to the Lord on Sunday night and Wednesday night. If God blesses you, we need to praise Him for it. I get encouraged when other... I mean, we didn't have anybody saved in our service today, but I sure was blessed when Brother Kavanaugh said they had somebody saved in their service. And I was blessed that we had some guests here today. And many of the preachers I know shared that they had visitors in their service. One guy had a friend day. They had 9 visitors, first-time visitors. He's a church planter, too. Brother Daniel McDonald over in Driggs, Idaho. They had 43 this morning at friend day. What a great day. But see, we need to bless others, let them experience those blessings through us. That's tangibly. That's sharing it with others. Helping somebody else out if they need some help. Letter B, let God bless others through your service to them. Now, I mentioned before, how do you define success? In this point, the question is greatness. How do you define greatness? That's... goes wrong with success pretty well. Some people define greatness in dollars. Some people define greatness in name recognition, fame, fortune, those things. But what does God have to say about that? I've given you some verses, and you can look them up. But in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 8, it says, Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know how God defines greatness? In service. God defines greatness in service. You want to be great in God's eyes? Be servant. Be a servant. Be a servant of others. Serve people with your life. Luke 22 talks about that as well. Here's another idea about greatness. You know how God defines greatness in leaders? Not by stomping over people to get to the top. Not by pulling people down to get to the top. God defines greatness in leaders as being a servant leader. In John chapter 13 and verse 12, it says this, "So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And in Mark 10, the similar reference, he says, the Son of Man came not to be served, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus defines greatness in leadership as a servant leader. You want to be great in God's eyes? Lead with service. Serve other people. Honor the Lord in serving others. You know how greatness in life is defined by the Lord? The great commandment, what is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. You know what the next is? Like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. You know what Jesus said in John 13? A new commandment I have given unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, so ought ye to love one another. And in John 15, he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that ye have love one to another. Not just have love, but show it to one another. Greatness in life, according to God, is defined by loving others. Serving others and loving others. See, if you're going to be great in God's eyes, that's how you're going to be great. If you're going to be blessed by God, those are the things God blesses. When you're loving others with the love that He's loved you with, He'll bless that. When you're serving others with a humble spirit, a humble and meek spirit, He'll bless that. When you humble yourself before Him, when you draw nigh to Him, He'll bless that. And He'll use you to display His majesty and glory to the world. My friend, you can't get any greater than that in God's kingdom. In fact, Jesus says, the greatest of all is the servant of all. See, we need to let God provide for you and others through His blessings. And that's what Jacob says in verse 30. He says, God's blessed you multitude while I've been here. I just want to provide for my family. I want to experience some of that blessing and provide for our family. See, we need to use God's blessings to provide for our family, just like Jacob says here. And you know what, men? That's our responsibility as men, to provide for our family, to provide protection, to provide benefits, to provide financially, to provide security, to provide emotionally. That's our job. We are to be providers and protectors of our wife and children, our family. And that's what Jacob says. All I want to do is provide for my family with the blessings that God has given to you and to me. See, God uses blessings. We need to use God's blessings to provide for our family, and we need to use God's blessings to provide for other families. That's what Laban did. Laban says, I know God has blessed me. Name your wage. I just want you to stick around a little while, because I'm liking the blessing and I don't mind sharing the blessing with you. That's the way we need to be. If you're a manager, if you're an owner of a business, you need to make sure you're using the blessings God's giving you to bless other people. I was talking to a business owner this week. I forget who it was now. It's not coming to my brain right now. But he was talking about the children and the families of his workers. And he was saying, you guys got to stop having kids because I'm responsible for all of them. You're only responsible for yours. I'm responsible for all of you guys as children. He had a pretty good perspective as a business owner. He's responsible to make sure those men have what they need to take care of their families. He's taken his leadership of a business owner pretty seriously. See, we need to use the blessings of God to bless other families, especially in business. And we need to use the blessings of God to provide a multitude beyond our ability. And that's Jacob was blessed in a beyond his own ability. God blessed him. Laban was blessed by the Lord beyond anything he could achieve on his own. In fact, Jacob says that, "When I came here, you had very little, and I'm leaving, you have a multitude." See, God can bless that way if we'll just trust Him and obey Him. And then Roman numeral number 3, be successful by doing God's will for your life. And for this, I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1. By doing God's will for your life. Joshua chapter 1. This is after Moses was gone and Joshua is being called to lead the children of Israel. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying..." So that's how it describes Joshua. Calls him by his dad's name, son of Nun. And he was a servant of Moses, a minister of Moses. He was a helper to Moses. And this is what God says to Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun," talking about the Mediterranean Sea, shall be your coast. "There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." That's not because of Joshua. That's because of God and the blessing of God. This is what God is telling Joshua. If you will submit to me, if you will follow me, if you will serve me, if you will yield to me, I will bless you. And that is true today. If we will submit to Him, if we will yield to Him, if we will obey Him, if we will follow Him, He will bless us far beyond anything we could achieve on our own. The sad thing is, too many Christians are willing, they'd rather take the meager they can achieve instead of the multitude God could give. And he says in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." I don't know about you, but when I look at the life of Joshua, I see success. Did he not take the children of Israel into the promised land? Yes or no? Did God not use him to conquer the promised land? Yes or no? At least as much as they obeyed, right? Did he not lead in the dispersion of the land to the people? Yes or no? I'm kind of thinking he's pretty successful, don't you? And that's exactly what God says. "I will prosper you. I will bless you. I will achieve greatness through you. I will exalt myself through you if you'll just yield to me." And I believe God's saying that to people today. You want to be a success? Let God use you to be the success He wants you to be. You can't be any better success than that. And it doesn't matter what your profession is. If God wants you in the ministry, you can't do any better than if you're in the ministry. If God wants you to go in business, if you do it His way, you'll never do better than what He can do for you. Joshua was successful. And this is the point of this, being successful by doing the will of God for your life. Here's how you're going to do that. By just faithfully doing what God gives you to do. You know what Joshua was before he became the leader of Israel? A servant for Moses. He was just a helper. That's what he was. He was the person God made him to be. He was the son of Nun. That's how he's identified. Joshua, the son of Nun. Not Joshua, the great leader of Israel. No, Joshua, the son of Nun. Young people, be the person you're supposed to be. Right now, you're supposed to be the child of whoever's taking care of you, your parents. That's who you're supposed to be. Let that be your identification. Be that person. And be the best person of that person you can be. Because God will use your family that you're in right now to help you to develop to be what he wants you to be down the road. That's how Joshua is known as, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses. That's all, just a servant of Moses. Nothing great and fancy, but because Joshua was faithful as the son of Nun, because Joshua was faithful as the servant of Moses, guess what? God knew that Joshua could be trusted to be faithful as a servant of his leading the people of Israel to great success. See, we need to follow God. As he puts leaders in our lives, we need to follow God and let those people work in our lives and be the motivator of the people that to obey God's will. We need to motivate ourselves to obey God's will, and we need to motivate others to obey God's will in their lives. And then he became that commander-in-chief in battle that God could bless and use in a great way. So he was just being obedient as the person God made him to be. And he was being obedient to God's will as it unfolded in his life. You know what, young people? You do, just like Skyler told me this week, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. Fine. He's 13. He's got plenty of time, right? But the bottom line is, what you need to do is you need to be obedient to God's will as it's unfolding in your life right now. As a student. That's why I tell our kids, your job right now is to go to school and learn. My job is to go to work and earn. You do your job, I'll do my job. But the bottom line is, the will of God's going to unfold for you. When I went to Indiana, I had no idea 12 years down the road I'd be in Oregon. God's will unfolds for us. What we have to do is just obey him along the way, so he can lead us in his will. Amen. And that's what I see with Joshua. He just was listening to God. So when God spoke, he was listening and letting God's lead in his life. He was learning from God. He was learning from Moses to prepare him for what God had in the future. He was living for God under the authorities God put in his life. His father, Moses, just doing what God gave him to do. And God unfolded his will, and God led him in it, and God blessed him in it. And he was yielded to God so God could make him the success God wanted him to be. And Joshua is a successful person, just like Joseph. Very successful. How did that happen? They let God lead. They let God work. They let God do it. All they were worried about was being obedient and faithful. And we need to do the same thing.